We're back, and we're joined today by Bunny Neely. Bunny's been with us on many an occasion and always has an interesting story to bring to us. And today she's going to do a Destination Worldview. And good morning to you, Bunny.
Good morning, and thank you for that nice introduction.
Well, it's always good a pleasure, Bunny. You always have such interesting subjects to discuss, and your articles are wonderful, and your website is great.
Thank you. So we
love having you around. It gives us a homey, comfortable feeling, if you will.
Well, thanks. I hope a lot of people will subscribe free to our magazine at www.realtraveladventures.com.
Well, today, I guess we understand we're going to talk about Augsburg, Germany. It's an area I've really not been to.
Well, you know, that's why we went. It's because not many Americans know about this place, and it's one of Bavaria's hidden jewels that need to be publicized. It's very near Munich, and it's about 50 miles from Munich and about 120 miles from Stuttgart, Germany, both of which will host the World Cup soccer games in June next year.
In 2006, yeah.
Right, and both cities are going to be completely overcrowded and overbooked, so this is just a great place for the overflow traffic to go or for people to plan a side trip from the World Cup games or a trip anytime to this lovely city.
Well, that's good advice because, as you know, when they have these large functions, the main city is always chock-a-block. I mean, it's hard to get rooms. They're more expensive. And staying a little further out of town and maybe in a little more scenic area is certainly good advice.
That's right, and it has great train and bus service and, of course, highways to both cities, well, all over Germany. But it's a center for trains and buses, so it's really easy to get in and out of.
The city itself, I mean, when I read your article, I was really quite taken by the history of this of this city.
Yes, it's it was founded early in the first century by Caesar Augustus, and hence the name Augsburg. And it was in competition with Munich to be the imperial city. It was a free imperial city for many years.
Yeah, you refer to it as the second largest city.
Yes, in Bavaria.
Yeah, right.
And it's just a beautiful city. They consider it their Renaissance city because many of the most beautiful buildings were built during the early Renaissance. There's just a fantastic amount of things to see there. We were particularly interested in the Roman Museum, which is in a Gothic, it's in the Gothic Hall Church, St. Magdalena, which was built in the early 1500s. And it has wonderful relics all the way back to the first century that have been uncovered in Augsburg. Unfortunately, the signage is only in German, but you can get tours in almost any language.
Right. And a lot of this, I guess, what I always think about with some of these cities, and you mentioned part of it in your article, but you know, so many of these cities, so much of this beauty and history was destroyed, you know, during the Second World War. There are certain things that you mentioned have survived here, like the glass, and a lot of it has been restored, or I guess most of it at this point.
That's true, and many of their main places that, of course, you would want to see include these. One is of particular interest that I don't want to save until last is one of the most beautiful Jewish synagogues in Europe is there. And ironically, it was built during the First World War by non-Orthodox Jews. And then it miraculously escaped Hitler's, the problems when the Allies were bombing in Germany. And it was because Hitler had abused and overused and killed many of the Jews from Augsburg, but this synagogue was spared by the Allies who were bombing all over Augsburg because a gas station was located across the street, and they were afraid if they bombed this cathedral and this area that it would explode the entire city.
How bizarre is that, huh?
Yes, and so it's a gorgeous place, and what we were so touched by when we went through it is that school children, particularly Christian school children from all over the area, come on tours here to learn the Jewish history and to learn, you know, what went on during World War II so that those horrible hatred crimes and wars will never happen again.
Well, that's a great story.
Other places that we absolutely loved was another place was the Fugere, which has an incredible incredibly interesting history. Anton Fugger was a prominent banker under the Habsburgs in the 1400s, and he had 11 sons, and the youngest one was Jacob. And it turned out that Jacob became the most adept in the, he just was a natural banker, and he had a genius for the business. And when he became the head honcho in the business, he figured out that he figured out a system of double entry bookkeeping, which is used by banks all over the world ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, back then in the 1400s and 1500s, when you had to get money from one place to the other, they transported it in a treasure chest that contained the money.
Which is obviously, yes.
And there were many robbers along the
right,
way.
Right, exactly. That's what I was just going to comment on.
Yes,
you.
And so he figured out that it was too dangerous to transport the money itself, so why not send a note and leave the money at home so nobody would be robbed.
Right.
And so he invented the first checks and the first letters of credit right there in Augsburg.
How incredible! And you know, when we think of banks and banking and money, we think in terms of the Swiss more so than the Germans.
Right. This was so interesting for us to learn, and also this Jacob Fugger became the wealthiest man in the world in the 1500s, and he was a devout Catholic, and he believed in noblesse oblige, that the obligation of the noble class to, you know, help give money to the poor.
Truly.
And so he and his brothers built this enormous complex of wonderful apartments to house the poor. And this was what he did so that he could get into heaven.
Well,
because the comic thing about it was that his requirement was that you had to be really poor to live there.
Right.
You had to pray every day.
Right.
You had to pay 80 cents a year was all you had to pay, but you had to go to their little chapel and pray every day for Jacob Fugger to get into heaven.
Well, I mean, he sounded like a clever man to me. And you,
yes,
and, what's
and it still exists, and people still live there, and they still go to pray every day.
They're still praying. God bless him is right, I guess so. Somebody build housing for me, it only cost me 80 cents a year.
These are beautifully renovated apartments, and it's the most peaceful setting with parks, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, anyone would love living there.
So, I mean, these aren't ghetto-type, low-cost housing. These are just lovely apartments that have been funded through this trust,
and
I guess.
And old folks' home as well.
I see, huh.
We should study the system because it certainly works well and has for 400 or 500 years.
Yeah, we haven't been very well at getting that together, have we?
No, we haven't. Another place that's just beautiful is the town hall, and it was bombed during the war. During World War II, but they've spent decades completely restoring it to its original 14th century design. It has gorgeous frescoes and beautiful woodwork and marble and gold leaf all over it. It's an amazing place to see. And then I don't want to fail to mention the Dome of the Holy Virgin Cathedral, which the stonework dates back to 1823.
Mm-hmm.
And the building itself is beautifully preserved, and it has the oldest stained glass windows on earth. There are 5 glass portraits of the Old Testament patriarchs, and they're called the prophet windows on the south wall, and they date from 1140, which was the German Romanesque period.
It's hard for us. In such a young country, to think back to 1140.
That's nearly 1,000 years
ago. Yeah, 823 A.D. Were these glass signs by anyone? Do they know who did it, or was it just a combined effort, I wonder?
I don't know if they were signed. That's a very good question, but I would imagine that just craftsmen who were considered peons back then did.
Right.
But I don't know. Since they did not mention to us that they were signed, I would imagine that they're
that
not.
They weren't. It was, you know, it was probably, as you say, done by low-class workers who just had these great skills.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that we found very interesting in this city is many of the cathedrals, which had once been Catholic cathedrals, are now Protestant churches or used as museums or something like that, because Martin Luther first preached the Reformation here in this city.
Right.
And the Reformation began here in 1537, and Martin Luther was to appear before the papal legate Cardinal Cajetan, the next day because they were, you know, furious with him. And he slipped away during the night and refused to recant, and otherwise he would have been executed here in Augsburg.
Hmm.
So Reformation might, you know, never have really taken off.
Now, let's just take a stroll around Augsburg, if we want. You've covered some of the real highlights. What about, you know, just restaurants and cafes and the food and that sort of thing?
Well, the food was wonderful, and lots of restaurants and lots of hotels. You know, they can go to the websites that are listed to find out the specific ones and to find links to them. But they're excellent ones, and they told us that during the World Cup soccer, they will be much less expensive than in the cities that are actually hosting the games. The very center of the town is just a series of trains converging and buses converging. It's really a hub for public transportation for all of Bavaria.
Right.
So, but it's just a combination of modernized places and these wonderful old Renaissance buildings. Another thing that I didn't mention is that they are opening a new museum, well, a museum that has been restored. It's in an old convent that dates from 1,000 years ago. And it is an old master's museum because Holbein, one of the famous painters of the 16th century, is from Augsburg, and this has a huge collection of his work and some of his father's work also.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and for all you soccer fans listening out there, Augsburg may be your choice for a place to stay during the 2006 World Cup Soccer Championships. I thank you very much, Bonnie. It's a fascinating article, and for our listeners, you can go to our website at www.ttrn.com, click on Destination Worldview, and scroll on down, and Bonnie's article is there, and you can read it more in depth at your leisure. And, Bonnie, we hope to be talking to you real soon.
I'll look forward to that and enjoy listening to you in between.
Thanks
so
Bonnie.
Much.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Bonnie Neely, and Bonnie's always a pleasure to have on the show. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Mr. Johnny Jett will be with us, so hang in there.
1000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fare starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.